from the heart of Dubai, where tomorrow is being built today to the world. Welcome to the CTO Show with Mehmet. Here, we redefine technology and reimagine possibilities. With Mehmet, delve into the riveting realms of AI, cybersecurity, and digital technology. Experience the thrilling highs and lows of startups. Immerse yourself in the spirit of entrepreneurship and witness the future of business innovation being written in real time. Now, without further ado, let's tune in and explore the future.
Hello and welcome back to a new episode of the CTO Show with Mehmet. Today, I'm very pleased joining me from Bangalore, India, Sharanur Shirul. Sharanur, thank you very much for being on the show with me today. The way I love to do it is I keep it to my guests to introduce themselves and tell us a little bit more about what they are up to. So the floor is yours.
Yeah, thanks for the warm welcome, Mehmet. And I'm Sharanur. I represent the leadership team of Buzzworks and Innovations Group. I'm the chief digital officer, and I come from a completely HR tech background. My previous assignments has been with Quest and TeamLease. I have over two decades of experience in HR space, largely dealing with staffing, to the hiring, solving the employability problems for the Indian region specifically. Nice to be on the show.
My pleasure, Sharanur. Now, the topic of HR and HR tech, and people recruitment and all this, it's always been something personally I'm interested in because, at some stage I was part of this game, being someone who seeking the job. I spoke to HR people, and now you're doing something also which is like digitization of this. So first, let's start a little bit, in taking this specific market, like the job market. How do you see it have evolved over the time? Because, of course, I remember when I was still fresh graduate from college, things were different. Today, things are completely different. But how have you seen this market evolve? And what are like the challenges that you are seeing today for individuals to get proper employment opportunities?
Yeah, I think you rightly put it. I think between you and me, we have seen a journey maybe a two decades ago, what kind of a job we were looking at, and the traditional that is at the pre-dawn of an internet era, right? I mean, almost the internet was taking off, but the traditional jobs were to, you graduate, fresh out of the college in terms of any of your engineering stream and non-engineering streams. You either get, shortlisted as part of the campus or you come across, you migrate if you're coming from a small town, you migrate to the larger cities and then possibly, look at upgrading your skills and then, try and give as many interviews and see how you could possibly, get shortlisted in your jobs. And then that's how your career used to take off in our times. But I think over the period, I think the aspect of jobs, the Gen Z coming into the workforce, the internet really taking off, and the networked world that we live in, I think it has dramatically changed in a way we people seek jobs. And with pandemic, I think things really took a new shape in terms of the employee preferences of a job, right? Basically, your ability to seek a job in a hybrid mode. So that means your workforce became much more, flexible enough or wanting to experiment. You have this gig economy, gig workforce taking off in a manner which we had never imagined. And while each region thinks those jobs differently, right? I mean, a Uber job an Uber driver in the US could be an additional income, but for the geographies like the Middle East or India, it could be a permanent job of sorts, but a temp job. So I think the challenges the gig economy is facing today is it's a highly unregulated in that sense of the word, that the government are still thinking whether it's the right thing to do, or how do you treat your employees, how do you frame policies to it. I think the challenges that today's workforce, people who are trying to get into the job market, I think the challenge that we're seeing is the disruption that is going on in terms of technology, whether it is an advent of AI, whether it is an advent of gig economy, or the advent of automation. I think the technology or the kind of work expectation changes so rapidly. I think a lot of people struggle with skill mismatch, right? A lot of skills, go outdated, and that means the change, the culture change of the old world order of saying that, okay, once I get a job, reasonably known work culture, and I was able to do the same work for decades, and now you have a situation wherein the work expectation, the work itself is evolving, the technology, the tools is evolving. I think that's where a lot of them are facing the heat of being up to date, becoming a lifelong learner of sorts. I think those are the key challenges you face. Today's job, seekers are changing the market, evolving market.
Absolutely. And this is why I think, Sharan, whenever there are challenges, there are a lot of innovation that's happening. And, from my, humble observation, I would say, usually we see a lot of hype behind HR tech. Now, the question, that comes here is, first of all, there are a lot of technologies. You mentioned some of them. So you mentioned like AI, you mentioned, all these things. But do you think that these trends are really that have emerged, that are addressing the challenge of the job market? And in your opinion, which ones really they are making the impact? While, and this is, because I've spoken to a lot of people who are in this space, both as a CTOs, both as, people who have also the recruitment experience. And the thing that always used to come is, while we are doing all this transformation and, you lead the, this in your position now. So also how we can keep it human. So want to listen to your opinion about this one.
I think the real use cases, if you really look at it, where, proof in the pudding, right? Basically, if you really look at in the recruitment space, AI's ability to do matching, stack rank the people, remove the biases, whether it is a region bias or a gender bias or any other biases that you could, socioeconomic biases that could exist as part of a recruiter. I think AI is maturing as we speak. There are really, really good use cases wherein it is able to do a matching capabilities extremely very well. You also have a trend in terms of really getting your labor market insights, right? Your ability to line up, it's a different thought word of how do you hire a temp staff and a perm staff, right? In a temp staff, the seasonality, the ability to, manage the trend, which were a lot of data were in Excel, your ability to actually pinpoint and say that, okay, here is a trend that is coming up. This is a seasonality. These are the kind of skills that would be working out. A lot of hiring or the onboarding experience, the automation aspect of the experience of onboarding, right? Your ability to schedule the job seekers, if you're interviewing, you do schedules. Everything today, I think it's able to manage the the AI algorithms have matured. In fact, some of us are actually, in fact, trying out, conversational AI, wherein it really starts to break the barriers, right? I mean, while you saw a Samsung S24 having a brilliant real-time conversational AI in terms of actually switching languages, whether it is Spain to English or English to Hindi, there's so many aspects. I think those use cases for a blue-collared entry workers who are not comfortable talking to the recruiters, or if we can bridge the communication gaps, those are the real technology, aspects, interventions which would make the impact on the job market, in terms of the hiring process. So I think that's the key area. Use the technology for the sake of. We shouldn't be using the technology for the sake of using, but absolute use cases which will solve real world problems.
Absolutely. And here I want to ask Sharon about, what are you doing, part of innovation groups, so how you are addressing, some of these issues you just mentioed within the job market.
Yeah, I think the first thing that we've done in the innovation group job app, we are making it multilingual, okay, so that, a job seeker, whether it is Arabic or Hindi or any other languages, that person is able to, come to our app, download the app and head start, configure. We've kept the functionality as bare minimum as possible in terms of registration, because traditionally, if you ask too many questions at the time of registration, it basically kills the interest of the person, probably, in fact, we have a human touch to it in terms of having a simple registration. A simple registration would be a name, phone number, get the sign in, and then your backend team actually calls you and actually guides you on what is your requirement. So there's a certain degree of personalization we do in our app. We also have, categorization in terms of saying that, there's a white collar jobs available, there is a blue collar section available. We are able to use, certain area of interest, and then we are trying to, input in terms of recommendation engine, right? We're having a recommendation engine which will smartly, infuse the jobs of that, which are of particular interest. We also try to give insights about the company, the kind of company, what kind of a company that person is expected to work, what is the kind of a culture. So see, these are the, small things, tactical and as well as strategic, pushes that we do, which helps us to gain traction. We are not into the number games. We don't want to be the monsters or the Naukris or the shines in terms of saying that, okay, we have X millions of users. We want it to be qualitatively good profiles. Our customers should like it. That means our ability to match the job just in time, so that the job seekers are happy and the providers are happy. So we are not in the number game saying that, okay, we have a profile of millions of profiles. Please go and search without a context. So we try to get it as much as, contextual, as much as assessed known candidates, so that the conversion ratios improve, and it is a win-win for both the parties.
That's amazing, Sharano. But out of curiosity, I want to ask you a question, which is might be a controversial question. So we talk about technology, and you're leading something which is I'm passionate about. So anything which have digitalization in it, and having things streamlined, I love it. Now, why do you think, with all the technology advancement that happened, every single, and you, because you said you have this, and this is what I like. Every time, someone comes to me and say, hey, I applied for a job, they go to, probably they see it on LinkedIn or somewhere like this. Then they go to that company HR platform. And then, they tell me I have to fill, lines and lines, question after question. While this information, if you think about it, it's first, it is in the CV, right? It's in the resume, and it's available publicly. So do you agree with me on this point? Do you think like we really fell behind when it comes to really digitizing the recruitment process?
Absolutely. I think this, if the CV passing has not really matured into a resume reading or the contextual, that's where, there is a use case for the AI saying that, if you are able to interpret the resume of sorts and, whatever the resume, whatever the shape a person has, a profile, whether it is a Word document, whether it is a PDF document or a text, a simple text, your ability to make contextual, analysis of the skill set that a person has written, and also an interaction with the bot, which non-evasively captures the skills that a person is interested in. And that together can actually build a CV that addresses the customer's needs. Absolutely. Obviously, there are two ways the job works, right? A HR opens up a job positions at a customer, and they are bombarded with millions of CVs versus your ability to actually get a CV for which your job. So, which means that your ability to interpret your job requirement in a contextual manner and stack rank your profiles, shortlisted profiles, that makes the job easier. Rather than actually sending, taking it from the portal, sending it or candidates applying without the context or, so those are the innovation disruptions that are not, they are being developed, but they're still, in my mind, not fully matured. I've known personally some of the platforms which have begun to, understand this critical area. In fact, people are purely focusing on, how do I build a skill repository or how do I read the profile, the science behind reading the profile and giving it to the customer in a language that the customer, understands. That is an area wherein a lot of trust is being, done on many startups are doing the, some interesting stuff on this area.
Perfect. So I like this this approach, Shranu. Now, tell me more, about you. You mentioned some of the technology. So are you leveraging something like machine learning, like artificial intelligence to do these things? Because, to your point now, you just mentioned, if I'm someone who's going to recruit, of course, I would be bombarded with a lot of CVs, right? And while maybe if I have a pool, which I can go to a kind of a chat GPT style thing and say, hey, shortlist for me 2-3 people who has, let's say, full stack developer skills, or I don't know, like it might be something
absolutely.
More.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Actually,
so explain to me more about that. Yeah.
Yeah. In fact, you can go one step ahead. Actually, if your job description is articulate enough, then you can take away the aspect of recruiter trying to search a job. You can either hook onto the database, whether it is external databases or your own internal databases, use machine learning, algorithms which would search contextual in nature. Like, for example, if you say full stack, a person, with a full stack would be possibly knowing there is an implicit skill and explicit skills, right? Basically, you are saying that, okay, a person expected to know, a Java would have a complementary skills like JavaScript, HTML, whatever it is, or the backend. So your ability to, those you have to leave it on machines, in terms of training the model on the job description in itself. If you get the job description right, it's always the case that, where people actually struggle in sourcing the CVs are, people don't, the recruiters don't apply their mind in terms of actually articulating the job description. People just take on a phone call saying that, I want a developer. I want a full stack developer, but the contextual skills, there's the implicit skills, the explicit skills. If you are articulating it and then give an AI model a chance to interpret that, then you have a much, much better way of actually, the moment you post a job description, it can look up to database in order of priority, right? You can look up to save your cost. You can look up to your internal database. And if your internal database doesn't find out, you can look into the hook, create hooks, whether it is an robotic process automation hooks or API hooks, go into the XML databases, get it and stack rank them. That is more important, that automatically you stack rank the employees with the weightage of the skill set, their ability to join, what is the notice period. And if you do that, then it becomes much faster turnaround time for you to close the recruitment loops.
That's great, Sharanu. Now I would come to a point which you touched a little bit on it, but I want you to like dissect it a little bit more for us. And what are you doing with the app that you have developed? One of the things, and back in the days, I faced it. A lot of people faced it. And if you put a hashtag called recruitment or HR, whatever, the numbers one complaint, we discussed it even here with both HR tech professionals and with full recruiters, recruitment agency owners in the US. The number one complaint that comes usually is communication. Communication means, sometimes there is this first you apply for a job and you never know what happened, right? The second complaint, okay, we get like a first call, first touch, and then again, nothing happened. And then even later on, even if you go to second, third, this is maybe another topic about how long it's the process is. But communication has been always a problem. And let's face it, it's not something to, hide ourselves behind it. There is a communication problem. Everyone knows that. Every single person I meet who's looking for a job, his or her first complaint, I've been ghosted, So what are you doing to solve this problem, Sharanu?
Wonderful and a brilliant question, actually. So I think the way to possibly solve and the way we are approaching it is a lot of us don't, a lot of the platforms, off-the-shelf platforms, if you take it, or a traditional workers, a lot of them don't necessarily pay attention to the communication charter. That means when you define a workflow, saying that, okay, you just mentioned that, okay, you have three technical rounds followed by a customer direct interaction or whatever it is. So your ability to actually do a multi-channel, not necessarily omni-channel, multi-channel, that means your ability to define the workflows upfront, saying that, okay, if you have three stages of interviews, what kind of communication you would have, right? The CV hitting your database is one communication. Your CV being viewed by the recruiter is another, alert in terms of communicating back. Your CV, matched, stack ranked intelligence, saying that what is the good chances that you have? Is there a modification to your CV required? Those attributes, because the profile builder will actually take over and say that, okay, these are the there are better skills. If we want to know, we can have a conversation. It's either a ChatGPT style conversation or automated dialer, dialing up the job recruiter and trying to say that, okay, ask certain questions so that those can get embedded back into the CV. So every stage wise, if you have enabled it, then it doesn't it does not necessarily become a memory play for the recruiter saying that, oh, hang on, I sent a profile, I need to communicate. If workflows are deeply embedded with multi-channel, whether it is WhatsApp, in fact, in our research, we found that the reach of a email versus SMS versus WhatsApp, we were able to cover 75 to 80% reach with WhatsApp versus the email. Even hardly people bother to look at it. SMS people just ignored it. We saw WhatsApp was one of the good communication in terms of reach, because everybody has it. Traditionally, people even use the usage of WhatsApp is so high that people generally tend to see your messages, and you can actually have bot interaction, ChatGPT style bot interactions within the WhatsApp to actually ask pertaining questions. And every stage is acquiring every stage. So your ability to actually reach, create a bridge of communication directly with recruiters, that becomes much more easy, and it doesn't necessarily overwhelm if it is organized in a much better fashion. That's my, that's how we are working towards it.
But you mentioned something crucial, and I think it's on the recruiter, whoever is recruiting. They have, as you mentioned, they have to define their, workflow. I love this because, I feel at least someone would understand, and if it would be better if they put time frames. I think this will save everybody's time. So let's say, I'm just giving an example. Let's say I'm hiring again for this time for a marketing person, right? So I can tell them, okay, so you're going to do 3 rounds of interviews. Between each round, like maybe there is 1 week, 3 days, whatever it is. We're planning to hire someone on, let's say, 1st of April, right? So when these things are clear, and I think, even from person who sits on the recruitment side, whether it's an outsourced recruiter or an in-house talent acquisition person, their life will become easy because they don't have to keep replying these emails, to your point, like, hey, what happened? Ah, I'm waiting. So everything will be clear. So I think this is very good. And the other thing, like, it's funny enough, when I try to explain this to, for us, people living here in the region, in Gulf, in India, like, we're used to WhatsApp. So when I try to explain this to people in the US and North America mainly, so they find, really, I say, yes, we do a lot of business using WhatsApp nowadays. Like, it became the de facto communication tool. So I'm happy that you have integrated this. Now, Chen, out of curiosity, how was the reaction from both sides when, because you mentioned like the chatbots, and people usually, I can tell in some verticals, when they started to implement these chatbots, it didn't do a very good job, of course, but that was like way before the ChatGPTs and the Gemini and all these technologies came. So how did you see the interaction of the users with the chatbots?
I think if I were to take my experiences much before the ChatGPT world, and post ChatGPT world, the interaction used to be like flat, like, the earlier interaction in the limitations of the chat was that it used to be like a FAQ, right? Question A, question B, question C. These are the possibilities, maximum question. I the recruiter get to decide, saying that, okay, I can possibly get 10 questions, and the chat GPT tries to answer. I'm not the chat GPT, sorry. The normal chatbots try to answer the pre-prepared answers, and it doesn't make sense. The job seeker is quite frustrated when a job seeker uses a personalized question, contextual question. It says, please get back to, we will get back to you, or the chat ends the conversation saying that, please, this is the common email ID, support ID, and go ahead and, go ahead and, just write a mail in terms of solving the problem. Of course, we solved even that by directing the traffic to a human agent. That means if you have run out of all the possibilities of your chatbot bot questions, you tend to redirect the traffic back to a human agent, which could be a recruiter or any other agent who is authorized to respond to it. We kind of managed it, but I think with the advent of the Geminis of the world or the ChatGPT of the world, I think our ability to converse, have a natural conversation, which could almost mimic, closer to human interaction, with little or no human intervention. I think that's something, is dramatically improved. In fact, we were just testing, in one of my HCM product, just a couple of weeks back. The easiest thing that we did for the, for training the chatbot was to have all the policy, HR policy documents taken out. The organization had about 10-15 policy documents, and the policy documents were put into the ChatGPT 3.5 model, and you could easily have a free flow conversation with it. In fact, you can which something we wouldn't have thought a few years back, right? I could easily question the chat saying that, you know, give me a leave plan, which is the longest, which utilizes the holidays and the weekends. And the AI took over and gave me the best plans, you know, whether it is the Bakrids or the Christmas or the New Year's, trying to combine the leaves with the... and so many use cases, right? I think that's the key difference that we see, that the technology is becoming more democratized in that sense of the word. I think it's the utilization that eventually people will kick in using these models rapidly and scale up their workflows increasingly.
That's good to hear, Shranu. Now, because you are in the heart of all this, a lot of debate and a lot of ideas, a lot of, opinions came up outside the show and with me, you know, when I interview people who are expert both in AI, in HR, in technology, in emerging tech and all this. From what you are seeing, because what you have done, you've done something fantastic, because you've brought this technology, right? And you're trying to modernize and digitize and streamline this. At the same time, there is a market shift currently because of the AI. So how have you seen, or how do you expect in the future AI will be affecting, you know, the skills that we need in the future? Because I think, again, as someone who provides this service to your customers, so you must be having not a crystal ball, but at least, you know, because you have a real-time vision on what's happening. So what you can tell us about that? And your expectations, of course.
Yeah. In fact, the other day, I was just, scraping through the World Economic Forum report for next 5 years, that is 23 to 27. And it gave interesting insights region-wise, you know, whether it is how does the job market behaves in the Middle East, how does it in India. And if you really look at, crystal gazing, if you were to do it, not fully accurate, but you see the, obviously, jobs will be created, jobs will be lost, okay, over the next 5 years. And what are the jobs that are going to be created? You are traditionally looking at the big data, the AI, the analytics, all those, and also obviously with the Paris Accord implementation, you have a lot of shift in the green energy technology, the renewable sources of energy, the market for that to create, labor workforce there. In India, you can see the manufacturing really kicking up. In the Middle East, you can actually see the traditional, construction really picking up in terms of the projects and the environmental engineering. All those things, we clearly see that there are jobs that are going to be created. E-commerce, goes without saying. And in fact, all the jobs that will be taken out is anything that can be done on the desk, right? Whether it is account keeping or data entry jobs or anything. So I think that presents a very interesting dynamics for the job seeker, right? The job seeker really needs to understand these trends. That means our ability to give interesting trends back to the users or job seekers, saying that, well, where is the industry going? Where is the industry headed? Have some sort of research papers published out to the job market, job seekers, so that today's Gen Z has a attention span less than few minutes, right? Or probably in less than minutes. So you from a learning platform, you have to go towards the micro learning platform capabilities. That means your ability to give a short ability to learn new skill sets, adopt a new skill set, changing ever changing needs. Which requires reskilling and upskilling. Those are the platforms, interventions, the service providers have to really work on, the skilling. The skilling is going to be the biggest challenge in coming years, because the rapid pace of skill, skilling is not happening. Either people are leaving, falling off from the job market, or, new people are coming in back, so.
Yeah, and just out of curiosity, I'm looking forward to start to see the Gen Z in the managerial positions and director positions, because I want to see how they will handle all this. Shan, by the way, I've seen something, you've really have good footprint, I think, even here in the GCC region, right? So, and congratulations on this. So usually this is the final question I ask. Is there anything you would like to add? Maybe something I didn't touch on, and where people can find more about your platform and the app.
We in innovations group, we are actually striving hard to be a true global, a blue collar workforce kind of a thing. I mean, we're trying to really solve problems. And we are trying to see if we can form community based on skills, right, across the world. Because I think the biggest challenge of building a tech platform is how do you engage them, right? You know, what is in it for the customers? What is in it for the job seekers to stay in your platforms? That means customers don't come to you if there are job seekers. Job seekers don't come to you if there are not enough customers. And you need to have a right balance, as well as have some sort of a move beyond job offering to the training recommendations, your ability to create communities, engage them. Those are the important dynamics in the job market to stay relevant. I think that's my limited point I would like to add.
Yeah, and where we can find about the app and the portal, should I know?
So the app is already on the stores. It's called as Innovation Group. Releasing multiple languages as we go along. Maybe a week away to actually have Arabic language translation going on. So those are the things that we're innovating. I think we will continue to make it simpler, make it, as I said, we are not in the number game, but we want quality and quantity. I mean, so quality is key for us to make them engaged. And also we are doing a personal touch by reaching out to each candidate who is registering it so that we understand what are the job seekers need and, take the feedback continuously from the, job seekers and customers.
That's great. I will put a link in the show notes so people can find, the portal and the app. Shreyans, thank you very much for joining me today. I really enjoyed because this is one of the topics. Again, I like to keep discussing it with people like yourself, with the experience that you have. And I'm happy to see we have advancement in that specific, I would say, use case. Around HR and HR tech, of course. So thank you very much for sharing your insights and, congratulations on the achievements that you have done so far with Innovation Group. And thank you very much for being with us. And this is how usually, my pleasure. And this is how usually I end every episode. So this is for the audience. If you just discovered this podcast, thank you very much for passing by. I hope you enjoyed. Please subscribe. We're available on all podcasting platforms. And we are available also on YouTube. And if you are one of the loyal followers that keep sending me their notes and suggestions, thank you very much. I really appreciate it. And keep them coming. And if you are interested to be on the show, you're doing something special, you are disrupting an industry, maybe you have an idea, just you want to share it with people. So don't hesitate to reach out to me. This is a platform where you can share your ideas because we want to have insights, ideas, and innovation on this platform. So thank you very much. And we will be again in a new episode very soon. Thank you.
Hit that subscribe button. Share the show with your tech-savvy friends and fellow entrepreneurs. And leave us a review on your favorite podcast app. Your support means the world to us.